Let's pray for you. Father, we thank you for Elizabeth. We thank you for her passion to share your word, and we pray for a blessing upon her now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much indeed. Well, we are doing the series Living Well, and Trevor introduced this the 2nd of February. And he's saying, as we step into 2020, it's a good time to pause and ask ourselves some questions about how we are doing. And the verses of scripture that he's based this on is, a heart at peace gives life to the body, and I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. And I think that's something that we all look for, is a place of peace and a place of living an abundant, full life. And then last week, Rebecca spoke to us, and unfortunately I wasn't here. I was knee-deep in family in-laws and washing, but she spoke to us on image and identity. And I must admit, when I listened to her talk on the website, I was just absolutely absorbed, engrossed, and hanging on her every word. And she spoke about how do we see ourselves and the importance of us finding our identity in Christ. And then how do we see each other, really, that we should find the inner light of Jesus in others. And then how does God see us? He sees us as chosen, redeemed, forgiven, and unconditionally loved and accepted. And I just thought her insight and her exposition and her thought-provoking challenges were just amazing. And if you didn't hear it, may I encourage you to go and listen to that on the website, because I was very, very blessed by it. So today we are looking at rhythms and patterns that sustain us. And a bit challenging, but we shall see where we go with this. And so, what is rhythm? Rhythm is a strong, regular, repeated pattern of movement or sound. And there we see there's a musical rhythm graph thing, and a regular recurring sequence of events or processes, which I am, it's a heart readout, isn't it, of the rhythm of the heart. Now, a few years ago, I decided that I was going to learn front crawl, and I struggled for a long time to get the rhythm of front crawl, and there were a few problems. I didn't necessarily like putting my head underwater, and but I was determined that I was going to learn this new rhythm within my life. And the first thing I did was went and sat and watched somebody who was swimming front crawl. And I then emulated what they were doing. And it took me a long time to get the rhythm, to get the breathing, and to feel comfortable with that rhythm that I was trying to emulate. But eventually it became satisfying, exhilarating and fulfilling, and I now don't have to take deep breaths at the end thinking, oh, I finished. It's sort of just one deep breath and then it goes on. But that rhythm took a lot of hard work. And so sometimes rhythms take hard work. And then we have pattern. A pattern is a regularity in the world, and the elements of a pattern repeat in a predictable manner. Now, I'm sure many of us have a weekly cycle of things that we repeat every week. It gives us security, it gives us a framework. And every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I do. Every Wednesday, I look after my granddaughter. It is the part of my recurring pattern of my week. And I'm sure we can all identify with that and think of the ways we could fill in that statement. But you know, there are some God-given patterns that we are going to look at this morning. And the first one I really, really love is Noah, the promise of God to Noah at the end of the flood in Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And there we see the godly rhythm that we all experience, the seasons, the weather, even the 24-hour day-night cycle. And, you know, when you experience jet lag, that 24-hour rhythm cycle is upset. And isn't it amazing how our bodies react in such odd ways? And it just shows that the creation that God made for this, all these rhythms and patterns are innate to God's creation within us as people. And then the next one, these verses in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8, are very poignant about the rhythms, times, and seasons of life. And in the late 50s, Pete Seeger wrote this song, and the first line, which was turn, 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 and the last line he wrote, but all the words in between are the scripture of Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 to 8. And this song was an international hit in late 1965 when the Byrds recorded this song. So just have a little rest and relax and listen to the song. Well, that goes back a few years, doesn't it? A few good memories. but yes, and it came at the sort of the 1960s, the hippie peace era, and you know the peace. But you know, when we look at those verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's talking about a time, an occasion, a season, and a purpose. Is a reason for which anything is done or creates or exists. And there are 14 couplets covering a whole wide range of human diversity. Verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, covering the most momentous events of human life. And yes, people are born, and we've celebrated babies being born, and people sadly have died in our fellowship. And even our sister Yan Yan, her grandfather died just, this morning, it would probably be tonight now. But he was 96, you know, and he'd had a good life. And, you know, that happens. It is the season, it is the rhythms of life. And verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, covers the human emotions that we have. And when we have been bereaved, we do go through a time of mourning and a time when we feel low and that. But it is a season, it is a tunnel It is, there is an end. And verse 5 talks about friendships, and verse 6 talks about possessions and resolutions. And to me, I think 6b is very poignant, a time to keep and a time to throw away. I need to apply that very much in my life. And my children keep saying to me, you can't die until you've thrown away a load of stuff out of your house, because we don't want to have to clear it out. verse 7 and 8, it talks about human speech, affections, and national endeavours. And the word time occurs 29 times in those verses. And none of those things are right or wrong. They're all necessary processes of life. And we need to be sensitive to the people around us as to what season they themselves might be in. And going back to the Old Testament, in Leviticus 23, we see when the seven Jewish festivals are outlined. They are appointed times, holy convocations, and they are times of celebration that are important not just to Israel, but to us as New Testament Christians, because each of them shows the Lord's provision for his people Israel, but also foreshadows and symbolizes aspects of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And of course, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, weeks, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles, they were times of celebration, times when they had holidays, when they didn't work, when they ate special food, wore special clothes, and it was a whole life cycle of events. And if we look at the Jewish cycle of celebrations today, you know, there's even more today that they have slotted in to these seven, obviously, are the major ones, but there's Purim and Hanukkah and all the other ones. So, you know, really, Jewish people have a reason and a rhythm to celebrate every month of the year. And I think it's very exciting that they do, and the way that is an example to us. But then we get on to the liturgical year, which is the church year, the Christian year, observed by the established churches, and it consists of a cycle of liturgical seasons in the Christian churches, and it determines what their scripture readings are and their focus. And of course, it starts with Advent, and then Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost. And the evangelical free churches have, in a sense, thrown a lot of this out. Maybe they'd celebrate Christmas and Easter and Pentecost. But I think there's a time that even the freer churches are coming back to see the importance of this rhythmical cycle within the church. And we, as a network church, we did a series on Advent, didn't we, this year? Well, 2019. And we made that our focus for the month of December. And as Sue has mentioned, we are coming to Lent, which starts on Wednesday this week. And, of course, we have talked about the food and the celebrations of the Jewish Old Testament celebrations, but of course, there also, like with Lent, there is an aspect of fasting that is real within the cycle and rhythm of the liturgical year. And then we have the Sabbath rest. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. The Sabbath day is set aside for rest and worship, and it was because God rested on the seventh day, and God commanded by God to be kept as a holy day of rest, as God rested from his creation. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing, and on the seventh day he rested from all his work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he'd done. And of course, when we come to Exodus chapter 16, and God is providing manna for the children of Israel in the wilderness, there they had to collect it for 6 days, double amount on the sixth day, because on the seventh day there wasn't any. And God, in his dealings with the children of Israel, he just brought this principle and highlighted the need for the Sabbath day of rest. And we're mortal and we need a time of rest, of focus on God. And in this, our spirits and our bodies are renewed. The Bible strongly encourages rest and relaxation. And the verb rest is defined as to cease work or movement in order to relax, refresh oneself, or recover strength. Now, for most observant Christians, Sunday is observed as a day of worship and rest, and it's holding to the Lord's Day, or the commemoration of Christ's resurrection. And if we remember back a few years, the Keep Sunday Special campaign, which was promoted to keep Sunday as a special family church day, but sadly the shops are all open these days, and there is a desecration of keeping Sunday special. And of course, if you think of it as the seventh day, the Sabbath was the seventh day, and if you the International Standards Organization, they even have an ISO standard for Sunday. It's number 8601, and it says that internationally, Monday is the first day of the week and Sunday is the seventh day of the week, which brings us back to the seventh Sabbath day of rest. So it gets in everywhere, doesn't it? And then celebrate, have a party. And of course, we are talking about the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son returned, the older brother was certainly not happy. But his father said, "We had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The command to celebrate occurs 94 times in the Bible. And so, you know, we should be a party people. And I think sometimes Christians have been looked upon as a bit of party poopers, which, you know, is very sad, really, because we of all people have so many things to enjoy, party, and to celebrate. And Zephaniah 3 verse 17 says, "God, he will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." So God sings over us. What a celebration that he's singing over us. And of course, they say how good singing is to you. And I saw a program to do with mental health and people's taking of drugs. And they were in this garden centre. And these employees, they sang for 15 minutes every lunchtime. And at the end of it, a lot of them had come off, you know, some of their painkillers, and how good singing was for you and what a celebration that that can be. But also we need to include relaxation. And as Lawrence said to me the other week, he said, you must do something you really enjoy. And that is so important, that from all of these things, there are things that we enjoy. And that is part of God's rhythm that he has established for our life. But then again, I have to say that some of us sometimes need a little check on exactly how much time we're spending on some of these things that perhaps can distract us sometimes. But they are important that we give time and allocate our resources to these things, because they're also important. But, you know, it's not the same for everyone. And back in 2015, do you remember the teaching of the Sacred Pathways that we based on Gary Thomas's book? And I just wanted to remind you that, you know, we are all different, and our rhythms and patterns are not all going to be the same. They're going to be very individualistic, whether you're a naturalist, a sensate, traditionalist, aesthetics, activists, caregivers, enthusiasts, contemplatives, and intellectuals. Whichever one you came in, you know, your rhythm's going to be different. And, you know, so don't be off-put that our rhythm's different to somebody else's. And, of course, his last chapter in the book is tending the garden of the soul. And I think this is a little bit where we're coming at from living well. Are we tending the garden of our soul by applying these biblical principles and rhythms to our life? On the 2nd of February, Trevor did these wonderful pots for us, didn't he, to represent the aspects that we were going to cover. And the two right-hand pictures show the pot he threw for the rhythms and patterns one. And, of course, it was the only one that went wonky. And I was a bit, oh, Lord, what are you saying? You know, and, you know, we have the rhythms and the patterns of our lives, but sometimes they might go a bit off skew, and it might be a time that God is wanting to challenge us as to whether he wants to alter our rhythm or shift our rhythm or move our rhythm, whether there is a problem in the rhythm that we've got. Is it a lack of discipline, a lack of security, a lack of accountability, a lack of stickability, a lack of time? Sometimes God is wanting us to be a bit wonky so that he can readjust us and get us back into the form that he wants us to move. And this week I felt a little bit wonky because I've had a cold and a cough. My routine and my rhythm has been disrupted, but it has enabled me to have time for rest, reflection, refreshment, restoration, relaxation, and recovery. And I think, you know, I'm a very busy person, and I'm you know, it's all slotted off and I'm off to the gym this day and that day and the other day. And do you know what? A couple of weeks ago, I think I had a touch of tennis elbow and Matthew prayed for me and it got better and I went back to the gym and then it came back a bit again. And, you know, if I hadn't had this cold, I would have forced myself to go back. But I think God's saying, no, I want you to just rest that for a little bit longer. Because, do you know, what I've learned, sadly, is that once you get over 70, things don't heal as quickly as they did before. But yes, Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. It's very important, isn't it? And Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But you know, this verse in the Message is completely something that is really, really challenging. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Don't we all want to live freely and lightly in the fullness and the peace that God wants to give us? The unforced rhythms, they're natural, relaxed, unstressful. The unforced rhythms of grace, the free, unmerited favour of God. And that's really the focus of where we want to be this morning, is living in the unforced rhythms of grace. And my challenge is for you today, or my takeaway, is what rhythms or patterns in my life are good and godly? Are there patterns or rhythms in my life which need reviewing? How could I better learn the unforced rhythms of grace? Is my balance of work, rest, relaxation, reflection healthy? Could I submit my takeaway to a friend and be accountable? Could I find a running mate who will challenge and inspire, correct and encourage me to stay on track? There's a story about a man who had four children and a beloved pocket watch. One day, though, it went missing. He recruited his wife and children to aid in the search, but to no avail. That night to bed, he went to bed without his watch. But the next day, he managed to locate the treasured timepiece. When his wife asked him how, he said he'd risen early in the morning before anyone else, and when the house was completely quiet, and he listened for the tick. Do we need to walk away from the exhaustion, fragmentation, and disconnection this world can so easily bring and come before the Lord to listen for the tick of God's small, still small voice? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you that you have placed rhythms and patterns in creation and in our own lives. And Father, we just want to open ourselves up today to learn the unforced rhythms of your grace, that our lives will be at peace and our lives will be lived to the full as you want to see us live.